On the Claire's, Matt and Kimber catch up, Dennis Cometti, Gary Megan, of course, as the final week evolves on Channel 10, we speak of MasterChef. And Aussie men, are they really that lazy?
They really are.
Join Claire's, Matt and Kimber for breakfast weekdays on Mix 94.5. And join Eagles legend Glenn Jakovich for dinner at Crown Perth. Register now for Niche Living's free property investment seminar.
Claire's, Matt and Kimber on your computer. Gosh, how high tech. Enjoy this podcast. Everything Perth.
Look, you boys know how much I loved the census.
Oh, you did love it. There's nothing you love better than the government having your data.
I love the government knowing everything about us when they don't need to. Mm. But the census wanted to get to know you, and it wanted to know you personally. Sure. And the stats are just the gift that keeps on giving.
Okay.
Right. Now, it's been revealed over the weekend that... Well, basically, I mean, in the census, they wanted to know how much work we were doing around the home.
Sure, yes.
Okay, so the question, and the very clear question that was in the census was, in the last week, did the person spend time doing unpaid domestic work for their household?
Sure.
And then it clarified, saying this includes all housework, food, drink preparation, clean-up, laundry, gardening, home maintenance and repairs, household shopping and finance management.
Okay.
Okay.
Pretty
now,
broad.
In that... Mm. When they were asked how many hours they spent doing unpaid domestic work, with all of those things included, more than one in four Aussie men said none.
Nothing.
None.
And
zero.
That's why we're the greatest country in the world.
Nothing.
Because blokes don't want to do that.
More than one in four men said don't do a thing.
No.
Don't. When we're talking, we're not unpacking groceries. We're not mowing the lawn.
No dishes.
Nothing. Nothing.
That's so slack. Hang on. Sorry. Now, what day is it? I'm just telling Laurie to put the bins out.
Now, sorry. I don't know if this is a man and woman thing.
Yes.
I mean, because they're actually saying that for women too, the amount of domestic chores went down as well, okay? Because the women who used to put in 30 hours of unpaid work around the home has dropped to 20%.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Women are getting lazier.
So we're getting lazier too. So maybe everyone's just busy at work and doesn't have time to do anything around the home.
Okay, so come on, what is happening? Are people spending more money on getting professional cleaners?
Oh, actually, that's it. Maybe.
I mean, I've lived on my own for so long that if I didn't do housework, it would, you know.
Everyone would know it was you.
I would have created the contagion that's going to take us all out.
A complete disaster area?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Maybe it's those little robot vacuums. They're taking up a lot of the work.
Oh.
Mum's got one that breaks down all the time. I keep tripping over it.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I don't know if they work.
I don't think so.
I can't take my eyes off that thing. My mates have got one of those. It's brilliant.
Yeah, kids give people give their kids a ride on them.
But, am I the only one who loves doing domestic chores?
I don't mind it.
I love getting clean around the house.
Like, I don't mind vacuuming, and I've considered a weirdo at my place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would do more hours in a week cleaning than I should, I think. Yeah, my housemates used to get up in the morning sometimes and say, oh, it smells like cleaning. Have we cleaned something again?
You're that person,
the germaphobe's awake.
A little
bit. I used to live with a guy who'd scrub the bathroom at 4 a.m. and he would wash and dry Glad wrap. I think I've told you that story before.
Oh, dear.
Oh. No, I'm not that bad.
You're not. You sure?
Yeah.
But this was interesting because it says here that they're wondering whether the answers were correct,
right?
Yes.
Whether it was truthful, because they're saying that some men may feel emasculated if they admit to doing housework.
Oh, right. So there might have been a skew on the data.
They weren't
telling everything.
I mean, if you are one of those men, let me tell you from personal experience, right? In my humble experience, nothing turns a woman on more than doing some housework.
Drop the mic. It's true.
You can spend your money on your man bun and your tattoos, but I'm telling you, if you want some action, run a vacuum over the lounge.
And tell everyone about it.
And tell everyone about it.
Loud and proud.
Done.
Claire's, Matt and Kimber, weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5.
Final week, the grand finale is here for MasterChef Australia on Channel 10. One of the stars of the show, Gary Megan, good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Oh, well,
that was a gentle introduction. I like that. You're rowdy off air.
Yeah, it was quite subdued.
You listen to Teeny Bop music and you come back on, you're all gentle.
Gentle on your mind.
We can't let anyone know what we're really like off air.
Is that the key?
Well, we just had 2 weeks off, so we're just getting back up to speed.
Well, people, let me know. They're crazy in here.
Well, it was nice to have you here for the good food and wine own show, did the people of Perth behave themselves?
They did, but I have a little rule about coming to Perth now is that I go, yeah, I'd love to do the Good Food and Wine show, but can I do like the afternoon session, early morning or afternoon sessions on a Sunday because it's very family orientated. And I learned years ago, because we've been doing it for some time, that if you did the last session on a Friday in Perth and the last session on Saturday, it is horrendous.
Oh, yeah, we just call that sundowners.
I know. Right? Well, and I think they learn, even the exhibitors learn, like, don't sell flagons of cider because there's a section of the Perth community that really give it a shot, you know? So
love a flagon.
Yeah, what else are you going to do on a Friday night?
But it's a great event.
Work?
And I go, look, can I avoid the heckling and come in on a Sunday? So it is good. No, it's good. It's
What did you prepare? What did you do?
I did three dishes. And I did a nice little kind of a snapshot of what I cook at home. And I've got a bit of a chili obsession as well. That was nice. And it's easy for me. And you've got to remember too, when you're doing a demo, it's not really about the cooking. The cooking's just a conduit for the conversation. People want to hear about MasterChef. They want to hear little tips and tricks. And they're probably like watching a comedy, you know, watching stand-up. You go, oh, the guy was hilarious. You know, what did he say? I don't know. I can't remember. So it's a bit like that. Yeah. I think when they watch your cooking demo, they go, so what did you learn? They go, I don't know. I can't remember.
They were really
pass the flagon of cider.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you cooked three dishes at the food
and
wine
stood up
show.
There,
it's
more
than I've cooked
but it
in
is
2 weeks.
And actually really enjoy, I still really enjoy doing the demos. I mean, Matt Moran was here and I said, you don't need to do this anymore. And he goes, but I love it. And I go, yeah, I love it too. So it's kind of, you feel connected and you feel, you know, we're chefs at heart. That's what we do.
Yeah,
and we're naughty boys too. So
is that why you still have the, you know, we're nine seasons into MasterChef. Is that the same passion? It's about delivering of the message food and all that kind of thing.
But, you know, it's funny because a lot of professionals, especially when they're younger, you know, they might be 26 years old and forging forward and not worried about the money, which is great. Good on them. Yep. I felt like that one stage, you know, where they were, you know, it was all about the craft. And they go, don't you miss being on the stoves every day? And I go, not really, because the pleasure of food for me now is as and when I want, you know, I can indulge as and when I want in my restaurant or, you know, coming to the food show or traveling. I just came back from India, you know, writing a book. So I tap into it where I want. And it's much more rewarding now, especially travel.
Yes.
You know, especially the privilege of traveling and the privilege of somebody taking time to show you what they do and what they love is wonderful. And
I love that Anthony Bourdain. No Reservations.
Yeah, No Reservations. Right. TV. And I did a little series called Far Flung a couple of years ago. Or travelled over Southeast Asia, and I got a good life at the moment, making the most of it.
Hey, so, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and so I'm kind of more connected to food than I've ever been, which is lovely, chubbier than ever, which is great.
We don't trust the skinny one.
The skinny chef.
Just want to know, mate. Look, I've just got off a plane yesterday from Heathrow, so I've been in a plane for nearly a day, and the first thing that came on the TV was this. It scared the hell out of me, and it was just this.
And then all of a sudden, I hear this massive. What the hell?
You all right? What was that?
Two of my chestnuts have just blown up.
Which isn't a euphemism.
No, I was going to say, two of my chestnuts are intact.
Roasting them by the fire. Exploding nuts on the show for the first time.
Yeah, I know. Well, hey, we're breaking the boundaries, It's interesting. It was quite funny, actually. It was one of those things where we were a bit worried because it was dangerous. You're supposed to score the skin of chestnuts.
Right.
And, you know, they get an unusual ingredient, they don't know what to do with it. And all of a sudden, they're deep frying and I'm roasting them and they were blowing up. And actually, out of it, I went, you know, the texture of the chestnuts when they've blown up is quite nice. It's like a little powder.
Oh, okay.
The trick was keeping it on the plate and not all over the ceiling.
Right,
so it's good.
So if you don't score them, the pressure builds up in the nut and bang.
And bang, because it's full of moisture, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you want to experiment, you can do it inside the microwave, kids. You know, let's get into something really dangerous. Don't do that.
This is what's happening, though. The risks are getting bigger and bigger with each season.
You know what's happened, actually, and it is a little frustrating. I've been watching the feeds on Twitter and Instagram. It's because MasterChef over the last couple of years is really just a reflection of what people are interested in, right? And desserts have just gone mental. I mean, social media is just covered in, you know, all these sexy conceptual desserts and people are obsessed by them, right? And so, for example, Kirsten Tibbles, who's one of Australia's best pastry chefs, I think she's got something like 2 million people follow her on her social media platforms.
Pretty powerful.
It's pretty powerful.
You make friends with cake.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's it. And actually, and funnily you should say that because Matt was saying, you know what, if you ever get asked a question that you don't know how to answer, you go, but I like cake.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit like being a politician where they just take it. So tell us, what do you think of the economy right now? I love cake.
You know, he's so all right, mate,
just,
for him.
You know, just take him in a different direction. Yeah. So it's a bit of a sweet obsession. So, you know, the ice creams are just getting on. You know, there's so many ice creams on MasterChef. He's got, oh, do you seriously? Can you not do another ice cream? Because they'll pop the mystery box and
how
go, don't know what I'm going to do.
How
and
dare make you even suggest they
but
don't make ice cream?
But it's interesting because then other people are going, yeah, but hang on, I love ice cream. And I go, yes, so do I.
Yeah.
Ice cream and cake. Hey, Gary, we look forward to seeing the rest of Finals Week on 10.
It's going to be amazing. Tune in.
Good to have you back here. You get the Mix 94.5 Claire's Matt and Kimber Flagon on the way out. And a box of goodies.
Fantastic.
For you.
Start the day off well.
Piece of ice cream. Gary, make it in.
Claire's Matt and Kimber. Weekdays for breakfast on Mix 94.5. Oh, what a beauty. Talking footy with Dennis Cometti for Automasters.
Like a cork in the ocean over his head.
Look, we've missed him for the last couple of weeks, but we have been on holidays, wrapping up another round of the footy. We speak of round 17, so we're not far from finals action. Dennis Cometti, good morning.
Welcome back. Great to see you all.
Oh, Dennis, I saw you on the TV with your son. Now, my dad's a painter, taught me everything
last
I know.
Night, was it?
Yes.
Didn't see it.
Dad's a painter who taught me everything. I know how to cut in, okay? Now, did you teach the beast?
The beast.
The fine art of commentary.
No, not at all. No, I think he learnt that in the WWF or the WWE or whatever the initials are these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They teach him to talk a lot of crap. That's one thing those wrestlers do. I mean, it just comes naturally.
Okay,
eventually.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
he does it beautifully.
No, the story is on tonight.
Yeah,
but I saw the promo.
Oh.
I saw the bits.
It is on tonight on 7.
Okay. Well, as you can see, I've done a lot of prep, but it's all useless now because these guys, it's all about self, self, self.
Yeah.
Nathan Fyfe.
Yeah,
just signed a 6-year contract.
6 years.
Six
for Fyfe.
Years. As a docker.
Wow.
Better add the club. Yeah. As a docker.
Yeah, true.
Well, good for him.
Yes. So the end of 2023, he's going to be a docker.
You've worked that out quickly, haven't you?
Yeah, I read the press release.
Oh, did you? I haven't got to that yet. I'm just throwing away my notes. Oh, that's terrific news for the Dockers, isn't it? Because
he's
back in form. Last couple of games have been quite outstanding.
Mm.
Too bad he didn't get injured yesterday, actually. Mm. I say this because
it's all right. Sounds, good luck with your 6-year contract, mate.
No, well, just a little injury because I'm thinking the day after Dangerfield got hurt, went to full forward and won the game for Geelong. That was the only thing missing, I think, yesterday. A good forward. Fyfe should have gone forward, shouldn't he? And as a result, maybe changed the game.
Mm.
I digress, though. I'm thrown by this. I'm thrown by
this. Notes. Use your notes. You to go with whatever you want.
Disappointing game yesterday.
Yes. It was a disappointing derby. It was very odd, wasn't it? A lot of mistakes.
Was, but Nathan Fyfe, 6 years.
2023. I thought it was a done deal, St Kilda. Who said that? Anyway.
They did.
Yes.
Funny game yesterday. Well, it wasn't a great one.
Bloody
and
awful.
We're talking about Nathan Fyfe, but the West Coast Eagles won the game.
They did. Well done, Eagles.
It wasn't exactly overpowering, was it? Hearn, Duggan, Gaff, Shepherd, all very good.
Yep.
Fremantle just wasted so many opportunities.
Mm.
Yeah, but if it was about kicking points, they would have been great.
Ah, yes, well,
good
in
point.
That case, Brad Hill, yes. Brad Hill better kick the ball along the ground.
Yes.
I was wondering overnight, you were too.
I was wondering.
This whole thing
What's
has been
the dribble?
Make the question sound spontaneous.
About the dribbling along the ground towards the goal with an oblong ball. It just seems like a very low percentage skill.
Is everyone trying to do an Eddie Betts or a Dacos from the old days? You know, that kind of thing.
Matt, funny you asked that.
Thank you.
The two questions I most frequently asked are, why do players come off the ground when they kick a goal?
Yep.
And why do players kick the ball along the ground when they're trying to kick a goal?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Well, the second question is the more difficult of the two, I think. On angles, it does make some sense, but straight in front, I just can't understand it at all. I mean, does Roger Federer hit the ball along the ground? Of course not.
No.
No,
won't make
he
it
doesn't.
Out of the net.
Then again, Brad Hill, maybe he should try that.
Does it help you line it up better? Is it like a pool cue? Is it that theory?
I don't
theory?
Understand it at all. The ball does strange things once you put it there because it's not a round ball.
It's an odd shape. Yeah.
So from an angle, sometimes players know the football so well, they know how it will respond.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, straight ahead, don't know how it'll respond.
There were times in the Derby yesterday, Dennis, I'm pretty sure I saw for the first time ever a footballer approaching to take a mark, and it was possibly the most reliable mark in the game, and that is Sam McGovern from the Eagles. When the Dockers were doing a bit of kick and hope to get forward, because the forward structure wasn't great yesterday, and they kick it to this incredibly reliable mark every time. I'm sure he was smiling as the ball's coming towards him, because you know he's going to mark the thing.
Absolutely. It was strange, wasn't it? He's like a magnet for the football. Is that it can't be, but you know what I'm saying.
Mm. Leather magnet. Mm.
Exactly. Well, that was the problem with what I was saying. But when the guy on him moves, and invariably forwards just by instinct move, what you want the guy on him to do is just stand still.
True.
Don't do anything. And McGovern, well, he's probably good enough just to play off anyway. He just runs off and marks the ball. So that was depressing. But that forward line really was... well, very passive, wasn't it, yesterday? There wasn't much movement at all.
Yeah.
And the Dockers, well, it's been a good season for them, but that's the end. The percentage is bad. Yes. They're not going anywhere. But there's a bit to look forward to, but they need a key player up ahead.
7 wins is better than 4 last year.
That's right.
So can I just check, is everyone still an opportunity for the finals? I just need to know every week. I know that keeps changing.
Well, when you're
in, is there still a chance to be in the top 8 for either of them?
Yes.
Well, yes.
Okay. Eagles are in.
Eagles
good.
Are
Let
in
me know
this
when
morning.
They're not.
JK's back.
When you go to the mall, just shake your head with Fremantle. If someone says Fremantle 8, you just shake your head.
Okay. And that's happen. Right, Josh Kennedy came back. Not a huge response, but he got, what, 3 goals yesterday?
So. Yeah, Jack Darling was good. Lacroix, they had forwards. The other team did not. So that was really the game in a nutshell.
So in your mind, Dan, the Eagles sneak into 6th, 7th, 8th, somewhere in there. They're going to have any impact, do you think?
I don't think so. I don't think they're good enough to. But Josh Kennedy is sort of the link, if you like, to success. Mm. He came back yesterday, looked okay, and generally he's a match winner when he's on song. And any forward who can get you 5 or 6 goals gives you a chance. And he's got a bit of help. So not hopeless, but there was a tempo about yesterday's game that was a bit concerning. I mean, they started each quarter pretty well, the West Coast Eagles, then faded. Mm. And Fremantle came on and had their chances to snatch the game. Even at the death, probably 10 minutes from the final siren, Fremantle was still a danger, weren't they?
Yes.
Mm. True. Yep.
And to themselves as well.
Let's kick another point.
That's right.
And, you know, the key for the Eagles now is to beat Collingwood away next week.
So. That's right. This is a big game, isn't it? Big game for both clubs, really. Collingwood's still alive. They've just got to win all those games on the run home.
Mm. And if you missed the big news that Nat Fyfe has signed for 100 years.
Hey, that's my
2023.
That's my patch. Now, come on, get off it.
6 years.
Look at all those notes. It. Great notes, Dennis.
They're worthless. They're worthless because Fyfe did this morning. He could have waited until mid-morning.
We'll call you Dr. Committee after so he knows, Dan. Well done.
Good Thank to catch you. Up.
For Automasters, get centimetre perfect service and repairs on any of their 42 branches. Call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS. Well done, Dennis Cometti. Good to see you, bud.
You too.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber's podcast at mix.com.au.
Now, the moment you've been waiting all morning for. It's Captain Paul's Joke of the Day on Mix 94.5.
And, of course, Game of Thrones starting, so why wouldn't I? What do you call a knight who's afraid to fight?
What?
Surrender.
Oh. He's back.
Well, there's another Clancy, Matt and Kimber podcast. Done and dusted. Don't forget you can catch them on your good old FM radio too. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Perth's Mix 94.5.
Join Clancy, Matt and Kimber for breakfast weekdays on Mix 94.5. And join Eagles legend Glenn Jakovich for dinner at Crown Perth. Register now for Niche Living's free property investment seminar.